alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, page 20 of your notes. Romans 8:26. All right, it is, as you know, our custom at Maranatha Church to give you a few moments in which to double check and be sure that you have the right mental attitude as we launch into this verse. It is your responsibility to be here. It's your responsibility to be in fellowship. At Maranatha Church, we teach how you get in fellowship, rebound, reestablishing the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, so we can appreciate this great verse on prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we've assembled ourselves together so that we can receive those things necessary to the glorification of your person and maximum blessing for those who hear and do. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're promised in this verse major prayer help. Major help in prayer. There are no doubt times in our lives when we are under pressure and we're trying to pray and we feel wholly inadequate. Well, that's not going to be a problem. We have a verse that says that this is overcome for us. If we are in fellowship and trying to pray and articulate a prayer before God's throne. One of the great privileges of believers is that they can access the throne of grace anytime, under any circumstances. Get yourself in fellowship and you call on God, and He is the source to help you and bring you through difficulties and situations which inevitably we're all going to face and are facing in a world that has literally gone mad, way beyond what you and I were raised up in. A world that is spinning out of control with all this negative volition and craziness that's all around us. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. The Spirit helps our weakness. The word, obviously, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, who, as we know, takes our prayers and delivers them before the intercessor, Jesus Christ, who in turn presents our prayers before the Father. That's the process. So, the Holy Spirit that indwells and fills the believer in fellowship is here to help us out. He also helps our weakness. The word helps our weakness is sum anti lambano. Sum anti lambano. It occurs here and one other occurrence in the New Testament at Luke 10:40. It means to come to the aid of somebody. That's what it means. It means to come to the aid of. And in this case, a weakness, our weakness, the pronoun with asthenia, comes and helps our weakness. I was going to illustrate. Uh, Oh, this is just on the aside. Jesus frequented the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were siblings. And Jesus would occasionally come there and visit over across the way in Bethany, Jerusalem. And this is the initial visit. I'm in Luke 10 because I want to be. Here's a case of two sisters and a brother. Now, as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. He was dispensing divine viewpoint, and Mary was listening. Two sisters. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, now Jesus always had to deal with from time to time. People are trying to straighten him out. And so she, in a sense, Martha, who invited Jesus into her home in the first place, she rebukes him. She said to him, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? And that verb is found in this particular verse as well. Then she gives him a command. She gives Jesus a command. Then tell her to help me. Now it's the Lord's turn to speak. Let's checkmate that. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, no, we're not going to, I'm not going to do this. Priority of Bible doctrine, rather than setting up everything perfectly so that Jesus can have a good social event with them. I like that one. Divine viewpoint first. Always. Other things will take care of themselves. He didn't come there for that. He was invited by Martha, who rebukes him and who commands him to tell her sister to get up and come help her. He doesn't do that. He checkmates it. Always he was checkmating people when they were not on point with things. What's the greater blessing? For Mary to be sitting at the feet of Jesus while he presents the divine viewpoint. Back to our deal. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For, and then this is explanatory, for we do not know how to pray as we should. For we do not know how to pray, prosukomai, the standard verb for pray, how we should pray, as we should, present indicative, D-E-I, die, and we do not know. But we have the strong adversity, the strong conjunction here, Allah. But the Spirit himself intercedes. This particular word for interceding is the present active indicative of huper en tukano. It means, it's a big Greek word for intercede for someone on behalf of someone. And it only occurs here. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings. The word sighing or groaning is the noun, instrumental, masculine, plural, stenagmos, with groanings, too deep for words. This is an adjective. Alathetos. It means that which cannot be expressed in words. And it only occurs here. Something that cannot be put into words. Articulate words. Just simply the believer striving to present his case before the Lord and is struggling with it, and groanings that cannot be put into words, articulate words. And he, the Spirit, searches. And he searches. The word search is the present active participle, eraunao. It means to search or examine something. He searches the hearts, cardia. To know what the mind of the Spirit is. The mind of the Spirit means the thinking of the Spirit, phronema, mind or thinking. He who searches the hearts, now he is God the Father, not the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is a little tricky. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. That's the first person of the Godhead, the ultimate recipient of intercessory prayer. And he searches the hearts. He knows what the mind of the Spirit, the thinking of the Spirit is. Because he intercedes. Another word for interceding, intukano, present active indicative. Keeping your antecedents straight in this verse, the first he refers to the Father. The second refers to the Holy Spirit. He intercedes according to the will of God. That is always preeminent in intercessory prayer, that God's will is the preeminent thing, not our will. We have our own will and desire, and sometimes they are the same, but sometimes they are not. One. In verses 26 through 30, we have further encouragement with respect to our sufferings. As noted above, sufferings are a precondition to phase 3 inheritance. In many realms of life and endeavors that people are involved in, they suffer. All kinds of different ways and reasons. People are suffering. All the things, they suffer. But for the believer in Jesus Christ who is positive to Bible doctrine, your sufferings will be translated, your sanctified sufferings, in the name of the cause of Christ, not suffering for other things, but suffering as a believer, this is a precondition to phase 3 inheritance. Jesus suffered. Jesus went through his time on earth and he suffered a variety of things. Misunderstanding, rejection, etc. He suffered these things in the face of those he was in front of, as well as the ordinary things that people suffer. They get tired. They get hungry. Fill in the list. There's no record that he was ever sick, that he ever contacted anything and was ill. As far as his health was concerned, through his whole life, it was perfect, without a hitch. But otherwise, he suffered by those who should have embraced him and supported him. Now, Since Jesus suffered, you're not better than he is. You're in the plan. He's the master, we're the servants. The servants suffer, master suffers, and God will take all those sufferings that are sanctified, that glorify God, whatever they are, mental, physical, and so forth, and give you a reward commensurate. Well, it's beyond the sufferings. You can't, we've already got the verse over, you can't compare the present sufferings, no matter how intense, to the glory that's going to be revealed. You will quickly forget about your sufferings and enjoy the glory that will be yours as a believer. I'm here to show you how to take your sufferings and convert them into eternal reward. No one else can promise you that, but God can. The phrase "in the same way" refers to something the Holy Spirit generates within us. As a result of growing up spiritually, those that don't grow up and don't have understanding, they don't experience this. They may sigh, they may groan, but they don't experience this. It's the product of Bible doctrine in the soul relative to specifically the coming of the Lord and our glorification, the redemption of the body, and all of that. As a normal Christian, under this, you groan, longing for this. That's spiritually healthy. As whatever condition you are in physically. So, there is groaning, longing for the coming of the Lord under the usual testings that believers experience. 4. This is something those on the outside do not have. Hope. Regarding the reversal of this situation. Having within us hope. Hope refers to the scriptural teaching with regard to the afterlife, which we've been over again and again and again. When you were saved, your soul was delivered. When you first believed in Christ, that's locked in. That's not something that can be overturned. And as you learn Bible doctrine, you learn that there is hope for your body that you came in the world with, that the body would be redeemed to match the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. The same dynamic body he came out of the grave with. Not subject to any of the ills and maintenance that this human body requires. A body just like Jesus Christ. When this event occurs, you will be the same age that Jesus Christ was. I don't care if you're 12 or 90. Doesn't matter. When the resurrection occurs, you will receive a resurrection body that matches his body, which is capable of going through walls without tearing up the wall or the body. You can enjoy food or you don't need it. Just a couple of things. Beyond that, I'm limited in how I can describe this body to you. There is no pain. You could go outside on the coldest day and you wouldn't even notice it. There is no pain. No limitations. You don't get tired and have to rest. You can't nick it. Nothing. So, that's our hope. A resurrection body that does not age, does not die, that is bulletproof. You won't even have to cough. Nothing. Sneeze, scratch. exercise, see a doctor. This is the resurrection, and it's a real body. It's not. The disciples freaked out when they first saw him suddenly appearing in the upper room. They thought he was a ghost. He dispelled that myth by asking them to make physical contact with him. So you're going to get a resurrection body just like Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So in the meantime, down here, learning doctrine and learning the glory of our future and getting your eyes focused on the things that are permanent and eternal versus the things that are temporal and around us that everybody's preoccupied with. Because that's their hope. Their hope is for this life. That's it. But we have a new and abiding hope. And it produced, and our longing for it is completely legitimate. And we long for it and we groan and sigh. And I would say today, with what I know, what I've learned, and what I'm observing in the world today, it's all the more. Get us out of here. Get us onward and upward into our resurrection glory. The Holy Spirit assists us while praying during times of intense suffering. But it doesn't just have to be intense suffering. That was what you'd normally derive from the passage, that it has to be those times when you are really under the gun and it's a real big pressure to you. Yes, those times too. But any time where you feel inadequate with regard to the articulation of a prayer. This is a powerful verse. It's telling you something. It's telling us that, well, we'll get to it. The weakness here is confined to the subject of intercessory prayer in the face of adversity or any given situation. That's the weakness. We don't know how to say everything we should say and put it all together. Imagine with regard to a situation that you're under. Imagine putting together the perfect, everything articulated in every way prayer. You cover all the bases, everything. That's the kind of prayer that the Holy Spirit takes and puts before the Father. 7, otherwise, we know how to formulate prayers for a variety of things. We do. We know how to pray for food. We know how to thank God and pray. We know how to pray for others. We know all kinds of different petitions and stuff that we can set before God. You don't have a prayer life, you don't have much of a life. You really don't. Do not shut down your prayer life. Or if you're new to doctrine, start it up by getting in fellowship. We have to be taught how to pray. It's not just something we automatically know, so that we're not saying and offering up erroneous prayers. So the situation is that of not being able to fully articulate in prayer, put into words, a complete petition in certain situations. So we have this fallback verse. This verse isn't designed for you to look at it and say, and be lazy. Well, then I'm not going to pray, I'm just going to groan. And you just make it work. No, you're expected to follow prayer's protocol. In all things pray, casting your cares on the Lord, asking you to help him, you with something, whatever it is, however mundane it is. Do you ask God to bless you? You're going to go shop. Bless my shopping basket. Keep me safe on the road from all the crazy drivers. Et cetera, et cetera. Help me with my health test. Whatever it is. Things you desire. Well, maybe you're not praying about them hard enough. You've given up. Keep beating on that door. Let your request be made known to God. Instead of just giving up. Prayer changes things, alters situations, all the things we could pray for. Because we have a Heavenly Father in heaven. And as a child goes to a parent in time of need, or simply makes a request for something, and the parent determines if it's legitimate or not, it may not be legitimate. No, you can't have ice cream now. We're going to be eating supper in 30 minutes and we'll see afterwards. They're looking out for their interest. That's what parents are supposed to be doing. But we can go to our, as we go to our human parent and make a request, so we go to our Heavenly Father and make a request. Hopefully, recently, in some situation, you've offered up a prayer about something. It might have even been something minor that you asked God to help you with. And the help was there. As the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You want something? Pray about it. Instead of just resorting to whatever people resort to. So in those times when we feel inadequate and overwhelmed. 10, but in this verse, we have a prayer promise. And that promise is that God the Holy Spirit will take up the slack and deliver, intercedes, a perfect prayer on our behalf before God. You can have confidence with that. That under your current situation, that you are struggling to put it together, and you feel like that maybe there's something you haven't covered. There probably is. The Holy Spirit graces us out. It's another part of the grace factor involved in prayer. Of course, the more grounded a believer is in Bible doctrine, the less likely the believer will be to ask amiss. Not that you can't, it's just that if you're grounded in Bible doctrine, you're not going to ask for things that are inappropriate. You can go out and pray for $1 million. But that's probably because that's related to the fact that your lust pattern's involved. And if you're praying according to your lust pattern, forget it. Things you can't pray for. You can't pray to make somebody positive. You can't pray that someone gets saved. You can pray that they get the gospel. People's salvation aren't dependent on whether someone prayed for them or not. Good grief. It's ridiculous. God isn't going to violate anybody's volition. He lets them have their free will to do or not do. He ain't going to make you do anything. You don't want to align yourself with the plan of God, then you're the loser. Both in time and eternity. But the world won't tell you this. They're out there running amok, doing it their way. But even the best of us share this weakness. Groanings. Our inarticulate speech and are translated or interpreted by the Holy Spirit into a perfect prayer. That's what I want you to get out of this Bible class today, that you have this reassurance that you struggled through an incident with regard to prayer and you have an absolutely perfect prayer before God. Another thing that shoots down prayer, does so to speak, it doesn't get off the runway. And that is lack of faith. Doubting. Jesus is always rebuking people in his public ministry from time to time for lack of faith. You of little faith. He interprets these groanings, point 14, in our best interest. Because he is the heavenly parent and we're the child, and he knows what's in our best interest. We may think we do, but we may know in certain instances. An illustration. A competent attorney is able to present his client's case before the court. So the Holy Spirit presents our case in heaven. Because the person that's in the courtroom doesn't know the ins and outs, the law, all the details, but a competent attorney gets all the pertinent information in the interest of his client. Our groanings are the product of being positive and informed. You won't have any of these groanings if you're not positive and informed. You know, throughout day after day, not one. It's because we're positive and informed, living in an environment that is hostile to our spiritual interests. Yes, they put on a friendly face, and people are friendly, and people are kind, and people are this and that. But underneath the surface, they're hostile to divine viewpoint. If you don't believe it, just start giving them some. Then find out how they want to change the conversation, might get angry, I don't know. But the environment we live in, the devil's world, it's hostile to the divine interest. Everywhere you turn, the plan of God isn't being mentioned and glorified in all these different things people are discussing and involved with. When was the last time you saw it on a TV program that made any sense? No, that's not there. Believers have two intercessors before the Father. Jesus Christ, our high priest. Romans 8:34. In a different context. He's also, interceding. Jesus Christ also functions as our defense attorney. Against who? Who's bringing charges against us? In heaven, who's bringing charges? Satan, periodically. He goes up there and attacks us. Maybe he brings up some sin we did, or whatever it is. And he does this over and over again, and every time the case gets thrown out. Because our salvation cannot be overturned by someone slandering us. Anyway, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, rather was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. He's a high priest. And he intercedes on our behalf. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And 1 John 2:1, for one more verse on that. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Every time you rebound, the intercession occurs automatically and you're forgiven. And the Holy Spirit. This verse, and verse, the next, 27. 18. The fact that even inarticulate speech is presented as a perfect and complete prayer is a great comfort and prayer promise. You can take this out of here with you today. Knowing this fact, point 19, eliminates a lot of stress. It takes the pressure off. It's like a valve on a pressure cooker. Takes the pressure off. You struggle through it, you're in a situation, and you can say amen and know that you have a perfect prayer working on your behalf. During those episodes, we can relax and have confidence that we are heard. Paul proceeds in verse 27 to show that there is no conflict between the Holy Spirit and the one who ultimately processes intercessory prayer. Yes, because you're dealing with the Godhead, and you're dealing with all, it's a great mystery how it all works out. But because God is all these things, he can handle the load of prayers that come up before him at any given moment in time. He who searches the hearts must refer to God the Father, as he is the member of the Godhead who is the final arbitrator with respect to prayers of the saints. I don't know, whenever you're dealing with the Godhead in the Trinity, you're dealing with a great mystery. The interaction between the three separate members of the Godhead. We don't pray to the intercessors within in the chain. We pray to the Father. All prayer is to start off with Heavenly Father, or Father, our Father in heaven. Something along those lines. But at least you're following the appropriate protocol. You're going to the Father. Okay? Yes, in the name of Christ. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Father. And the Holy Spirit takes your prayer and dresses it up and makes it a perfect prayer. You can do this anytime, any place. You don't know all the particulars in a situation, but you may be praying, you may be interceding for somebody else, and you're asking for God's grace and everything to help them, specifically another believer that knows something. People that don't, but somebody will appreciate it. So the Father is the head of the chain of command within the co-equal members of the Trinity. 24, next in line is God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. It's fitting that the Holy Spirit would be relating our prayers instantly because he's the one who indwells us. 25, God the Father is omniscient, as are all members of the Trinity. Omniscient means basically all knowing. There is nothing hidden from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Omni means all, and the other word means knowledge. We'll have more on that coming up. All knowing. Perfect. Otherwise, there would be a major breakdown with respect to the inner thoughts of believers. 27, not only does God the Father know our innermost thoughts, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we're struggling with. This is just some verses I typed out on verses dealing with this attribute of all-knowing. 28, nothing is hidden from God, even people's thinking processes. That's not a comfort to negative volition. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Nothing escapes God. All of it. 1 Corinthians 4:5. This is an admonition to believers with regard to other believers within the assembly. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Those that have it coming. In other words, you can't hide anything from God. Nothing can be hidden. And that's a comfort to a believer. If people, they may tell you one thing, but they got a hidden motive. He reads those motives. That's what motivated you to do that. Not what you verbalized. So you don't play games with God. You shouldn't play games with people either, but you're not play games. It's useless. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes are a part of human anatomy by which we come to know a lot of information. Did you see that? Eyes. So observation through the eye gate. Well, anyway, the eyes of the Lord are an anthropomorphism, ascribing a part of human anatomy to God, which he doesn't possess in that sense, to indicate his omniscience. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Zechariah 4:10c. The eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth. Revelation 2:23, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one according to your deeds. 29, so the Father searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is with regard to every prayer presented. There is complete and total harmony within the members of the Godhead. This language is designed to illustrate the fact that the Father knows, and the Holy Spirit is doing his part, and everything's covered. Everything the Holy Spirit does in this is in perfect sync with the Father, and so he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And of course, in all of our prayers and our petitions, we should have always the attitude, your will be done, not mine. I know what I want, and maybe on this occasion, the two go hand in hand. If not, your will be done, not mine. It is airtight, and we are assured that our intercessions are perfectly processed in accordance to the will of God in any matter, even our inarticulate groanings. Let's take our break. Pass out notes for second session.